All right, mister, what do you think you're doing? You call this a room? This is a pigsty. I want you to straighten up this area now! You are a disgusting slob! Stand up straight! Tuck in that shirt! Adjust that belt buckle! Tie those shoes! Twisted Sister! What is that? Wipe that smile off your face. Do you understand? What is that? A Twisted Sister pin on your uniform? What kind of a man are you? You're worthless and weak. You do nothing. You are nothing. You sit in here all day and play that sick, repulsive, electric twanger. I carried an M16 and you carry that guitar. Who are you? Where do you come from? Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to tweet.
It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Rosie.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans. This is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hi, I'm Kermit the Frog. I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT! Yay!
Get the fuck out of here. Go into the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of you youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say. Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant.
Lord, I know I said I was not going to talk about the Ashley Massaro death any further. Let her rest in peace. But they keep forcing me to. They keep pulling me back in. And I have succumbed. I will get into just absolute stupidity, ignorance, carelessness, and a whole lot more in a little bit. My God. And by the way, that little opening, you know, it's a little shout out to a music video that I loved growing up as a kid, Twisted Sister, I Wanna Rock. But if you replace the kid's guitar with a fucking computer or Twitter, I mean, it's the same thing. You see these goofy podcasters and websites online giving you advice. Think of that. Telling you their worldviews. Telling you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And then when a tragedy occurs, oh, you should do this and you should do that. And don't take this for granted. As they're laying in their bed, as they reach over for their next ding dong, as they fucking do nothing with their lives. But they will tell you that they do everything. Forrest Gumps. That's what they are, Forrest Gumps. And whenever you want to see a little proof, get a little bit of backup, try to get a little bit of insight of what they portray themselves to be online, you get bullshit. That's why, like I said, that guy from Twisted Sister, what do you want to do with your life? No, it ain't no longer, I want to rock. It's, I want to tweet. I want to tweet. Jesus. Anybody see the Family Guy episode recently where they went to that fucking internet-a-thon, some convention in Quahog, I think it is? And Peter Griffin says, oh, look. And they have like a display that looks like a hospital bed and an IV. And you could lay in it for $3 and take selfies of yourself. And then you could tweet how you're in the hospital and you got this. My God, everybody wants to be tweet fucked online. And I'm going to expose a little stupidity and carelessness and ignorance and using Ashley Mazzaro's death for attention. You know, I'm going to open up with that. Why not? You know, Ryan Satin, Pro Wrestling Sheet, a lot of other websites. Back in November 2016. Now, we're not talking 10, 15 years ago, where maybe young podcasters and websites out there, or even fans, you know, were embryos back then. Or maybe they were just toddlers getting breastfed. Now, we're talking less than 3 years ago. When this concussion lawsuit came out and the documents on behalf of Ashley Mazzaro were made public, all these allegations about this rape taking place on this military base in Kuwait, that was online 3 years ago. Where are all your outrages? You know what's sad? I invite anybody out there, go on all the news websites that reported it 3 years ago and look at all the responses. Ah, she's exaggerating, she's trying to get money, she's nuts, she's this, she's that. 90% of the articles either dispelled what she said or criticized WWE. You know what I found interesting? Between the websites from 3 years ago, all of the people who vented 3 years ago, all of you out there that ignored the story 3 years ago because she was still alive. All of you out there that are now setting up petition. There's a fucking petition out there right now. Make Stephanie aware of the rape. You know what's amazing? Notice how nobody online has ever once said, why isn't the military opening up an investigation? When this Dr. Rios... Dr. Alberto Del Rios examined her when she came back from Kuwait and I guess believed that she was sexually assaulted. Why did this Dr. Rios go right to WWE? Well, you fucking don't call the cops. How come you don't fucking make an file a report? You know, unfortunately, everyone, there's something that we've said on these shows many times in the past. You can't cancel 911. Kev Castle came up with that originally. You know, just because something happens in the world of pro wrestling that's real, WWE or even their storyline, you know, with the arrest things that they do, at Vince getting arrested, at Stephanie, this and that. No, you can't cancel 911. You can't say, no, I got this. I got this. You know, if an alleged rape took place in the military. And I, look, don't give me, oh, there's 25,000 sexual assaults in the military every year. Ashley Mazzaro was a civilian. And you don't justify no investigation because there's so many attacks, so we don't invest. How come nobody out there, not 3 years ago, not 3 days ago, not 3 minutes ago, ever said, why isn't there an investigation in the military? How come there's never one? You know why? I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. Number one, convenient. 3 years ago, story was written. Nobody fucking gave a fuck about it. Now because she's deceased, everybody has their balls in a bunch. Why? Because everybody out there wants to be tweet fucked. They want to get noticed. I am outraged she killed herself. Somebody has to pay. Vince, you have to pay. And we're going to fucking do everything possible to force you to pay. We're going to stop eating candy and your sponsors and all this other stuff. Where was your outrage 3 years ago? You don't wait for somebody to die to all of a sudden get outraged. You just didn't pay attention to the story because you didn't give a fuck about the story. There is no other excuse. Now, in defense of Ryan and others, they did report the story. They did bring to light. But they are reporters. They're not lawyers. They're not these, you know, you understand what I'm saying? They're not, their job is to report. Their job is to not go on these quests and missions and this and that. You know, you want to do that, fine. You can't intertwine both. And too many of these websites that claim that they're reporters, you know, reporting a story is not good for them anymore. Because 9,500 websites will write the same story. So now they got to either fucking make up shit, exaggerate shit, fucking rehash stuff from 20 years ago, or they got to fucking flat out lie. And it's very convenient to pick up on this Ashley Mazzaro story right now for three reasons. Number one, you don't have the balls to confront the military. All right? They don't have the balls to confront the military. And for a lot of people who live overseas, what do they care about the U.S. military? They don't care. But WWE is a global brand, a global conglomerate. Very, very easy. It's very popular on social media to criticize WWE. It's very popular to criticize Vince. It's very popular to criticize everything that you don't like. And I'm not defending them in any way, shape, or form. I stood away from this story because I look at it like that lawyer that's doing this major concussion lawsuit. You know, apparently there was an apology that Ashley Mazzaro wrote to WWE last year about being part of this lawsuit. I don't know the details. None of us seen the letter. So I'm not going to speculate any further. But if that letter is legit, and she also said that she felt that she was manipulated by this lawyer, she's not the only one who has said that. But the minute you join this class action lawsuit and you accuse all these things for WWE, you know, don't expect WWE to fucking stick out the olive branch and bring you back for the fucking first ever women's pay-per-view. You know, it was sad to see over the last bunch of years when you thought the possibility that WWE may bring back Ashley as one of the women from yesteryear, and you saw what she would write on Twitter. She would be excited. She would think maybe she's put, and she was left out. And she was left out. And she was left out. You know, you say, oh, why isn't Demolition in the WWE Hall of Fame? Maybe this concussion lawsuit. And to be honest with everyone, if someone really did, you know, get hurt and injured and harassed and abused within WWE, and your reasons are legitimate in this lawsuit, you have every right to pursue that. But you can't expect to go to that place and say, hey, take me back. It ain't happening. So for all of these websites out there, it's more popular to go after WWE on this instead of the military. Notice how no outrage to try to find out who the military doctor was. Now there's no outrage about the nurse that held her down. Notice how there's no, the only outrage out there that Vince said, suck it up. Suck it up. You have a job to do. Shut up. The fuck out of here. Seriously. You mean to tell me 3 years later, when you didn't give a fuck before, now all of a sudden you write 15 tweets with all this stuff. Very convenient now that Ashley's dead. Why? Because you could add a little spice to it. You could hit some emotions, get really, really raw, stoke the emotions of people out there who are just outraged about it. And then after that, what do you get back in return? Oh, David, David. I'm not talking about Meltzer. David, you are a godsend. You are such a good person. You care. You really want to see justice done. Did you smoke cigarettes after you got tweet fucked, people? Seriously, don't fucking give me this shit. And the best part, the ignorant websites. I mean, when you report stuff, you know, you have to really follow the order of the way things happen. You also need to have a half a brain. You know, when I read about JoJo hemorrhaging, which basically forced to induce labor and they had to fucking stop the bleeding, otherwise JoJo would have passed away. Congrats to JoJo and Bray Wyatt on the birth of their son, Nash 6. I mean, it's just great. But you could see one website got a few comments wrong and didn't write the scientific terms properly. So instead of just doing a simple Google search and trying to understand what actually happened to her, they tried to bunch everything together. And they try, oh, she went into labor and started bleeding and this is an and blah, 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 blah. And this is that. And the medical, they didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. And then I'm reading, Ashley Mazzara was laid to rest. She was. She was laid to rest, I believe, earlier today in St. James, not too far from my house. Believe it or not, I had a few people email me and say, hey, could you drive down to the grave and take a picture? I didn't even respond to it. I got five people actually request that in the last 24 hours. I'm not joking. But she got laid to rest. And what do I read about 6 hours after the reports of her being laid to rest? Oh, Ashley Mazzaro's brain may be donated to science. Then you read on the article, if the family says it's okay. They just fucking put her in the ground. Do you think after a couple of days they're going to exhume the body? No, we change our mind. I mean, why even wait? That was talked about yesterday. Why do you wait and report that after she's laid to rest? I mean, it's just, I think some of these people out there need to have their brains donated to science. In fact, I'm almost tempted to quit all of the shows and become a fucking scientist. Buy a fucking study book on Amazon. I'll become a scientist. I want to analyze some of your brains. I want to see what's up there. I want to just see. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get the mentality. And you know what's pathetic, people? Some people that I rip, I know. I won't name names because I don't want to start wars. I'm an older guy. I almost said I'm an old man. I'm not an old man yet. I'm an older guy. I ain't gonna fall for these little tweet wars and stuff like that. I got better things to do. But not only that, I'm watching grown men, 40s, 50s, and even 60s, getting triggered on social media because someone disagrees with them or really, you know, takes a shot at them. And instead of just ignoring them and letting others just hand them a new asshole, I mean, literally triggered to the point that they want to go to that person's house and punch them in the mouth. Yeah, okay. Okay. You've been laying on your bed so much that if you got up, it looked like a fucking crime scene where they outlined the fucking body. Your sweat and your skin is so embedded in your... Again, you get all this advice, people, from everybody out there who do nothing themselves. Nothing. All they do is write about it. They fucking go to the internet connection and take the selfies in the hospital bed like Peter Griffin. They're all Forrest Gumps. So I want to tell everyone, if you really cared about Ashley Mazzaro, keep her memory alive. Keep the good things out there. She was obviously a troubled soul. I was never a fan of her work. I was very, very critical over the years, the controversy with the escort service, everything like that. I am not all of a sudden going to have an epiphany and tell everybody that I'm a fan of hers or I cared about her. And this. And I didn't. I did not like her work. I did not care. You know, caught her in some lies, got called out on it, got shitted on by a lot of people. You know, but at the end of the day, she's a human being and she was so depressed that she killed herself. Keep your prayers for her family, her daughter. In fact, I want to plug this. And again, this goes out to the websites that are so goddamn lazy that couldn't even go on GoFundMe's page to get the name of the link. They just wrote, if you're interested, go to GoFundMe.com. Fuck you. You're fucking passionate shit. Join the petition. You know, make Stephanie aware of what happened. And you can't even post a link for the fucking daughter's educational fund. You just write GoFundMe.com. Lazy motherfuckers. But anyway, Lillian Garcia is shown as the official person who started this campaign. A lot of people in wrestling have donated. I think they've already raised about $10,000 to $12,000. You know, Ashley's daughter, she is pursuing, I believe, a college degree. She's 19 years old. And, you know, obviously without a mom now, you know, she could use some assistance. Now, she's not asking for the assistance, but the wrestling world is opening up for her and trying to help her. So if everybody out there wants to help and contribute $5, whatever you could contribute. I saw one guy today. I don't want to single him out because, you know, I know the guy didn't do it. to, you know, to be singled out or to get attention. How many people out there, you see someone do a good deed and they will fucking, you know what they do? They're slick. Now, this guy, if you go to GoFundMe.com/Ashley Mazzaro's Daughter Educational Fund, you'll find the drive. One guy today donated $1,500. There's a picture of him with Ashley Mazzaro. He met her recently. And he was so moved by her, and she was so cool that he donated $1,500. If you look at it, he looks like a regular wrestling fan like you and I. I don't know if the guy's got money or not. But you know what he did? He posted a picture of her and him on the GoFundMe page and thanked her for being so cool and such a genuine person. And he really, really appreciated her over the years because Ashley had that connection with a lot of people online. What do other people do? They'll do a good deed. And no, they won't tweet that they did a good deed. What they'll do, this is slick. They'll wait a few hours a day and they'll write, thank you to everyone who sent all the props for, you know, what I did or for the thing that happened, blah, 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 blah. And then everybody's like, wait, what's he talking about? What, blah, 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 blah. What, what's this? What's this? What's this? That's how you do it. That's the way to do it. So thanking people as a way to get attention to themselves. I always talk about Mick Foley as being one of my favorites. In fact, Foley donated $5,000 to this campaign. I have talked about Foley for 17 years. I mean, I met Foley before that. You see on my Twitter. I met him when he was tag team champion in WWF with Terry Funk. And I actually met him in Philly, actually was on Terry Funk's shoot interview later on, and I almost got arrested for road rage incident. Got into it with a guy. I didn't get into a fight. I'm not going to lie and say I kicked somebody's ass. But my ex, she started brawling with the girl in the other car, and they started yanking each other's hair and shit like that. I'm like, wow, this has been a fun day. I drive all the way to Philly. I meet Terry Funk. I meet Cactus Jack, take pictures with him, go on a shoot interview, blah, 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 blah. I drive home, and I get into a road rage incident. Go fucking figure. So, you know, Ashley Mazzaro, you know, Mick Foley donates $5,000 to the kid. And I don't wake up one day. I don't wait till Mick Foley's dead. For 17 years, I've been talking about all the good deeds that I am made aware of that he's done. I've told the story. I witnessed it with my own eyes. I don't even know if he remembers the story. And I'll tell it again because I want to. The year was, I don't know, 2006, around there. Give or take a year. Maybe 2004. And no, actually, I think it was 2004. It was right around 2004. Frankie Starrs, you probably heard him here in the Northeast, indie wrestler. He was doing a tribute indie event in Suffolk County for a military man. I think he might have been in the Navy, but he was injured and he lived in Long Island. So Frankie Starrs organized this big indie wrestling event at a car dealership. Might have been Sunrise Highway. And Frankie Starrs asked me. I wasn't anybody doing anything on camera, but I was doing stuff behind the scenes for Frank Goodman, USA Pro Wrestling. And he said, hey, could you help me out? You know, like really push this, plug it, help me with this, help me with that. I said, yeah, I'll do everything I can. So, you know, I helped him get the show together, even though he did 95% of the work. And then we went to Long Island for the event. Now, Mick Foley was supposed to be a guest, signing autographs. So we get to the event, the weather looks like it's gonna rain. And Frank, see, this is the thing. When I tell stories, 99% of the time, there's witnesses. Witnesses that are alive that could back up my shit. And if Frankie hears this story right now, he will tell you that what I'm saying right now is word for fucking word. If Mick Foley remembers it, he will say this is word for fucking word. Mick Foley's supposed to show up. And, you know, all the proceeds are going to this military person. And it's cloudy out and the wrestling event's going on and it's at the dealership and this and that. And wondering what happened to Mick Foley. Nothing. About half an hour into the show, somebody who was standing along. I think it was Sunrise Highway. It was Sunrise Highway or Montauk Highway, something like that. They're like, I think I see Mick Foley. So a bunch of us like go to the edge of the fucking highway, the street, and we look down. Now, I can't say down the block because where I live, there are blocks that are maybe 15 car lengths long, and there are blocks that are 50 car lengths long. He must have been, I'm not joking, must have been about a quarter of a mile away. And he's walking on, I don't remember if it was crutches or a cane. I'm pretty sure it was crutches because people immediately are like, what the hell happened to him? And he's walking on crutches and he's with either his wife or his kid or maybe both. And he's wearing a Mike Piazza baseball jersey and he's walking slow. I mean, he's going down literally a quarter of a mile on the highway walking. And then when he finally gets to the place, he's like, you know, look, I didn't know where to park. I couldn't find a place. So he fucking parked a quarter of a mile away and walked on crutches to the fucking event. He sat down, signed autographs, shook hands, was great. And it was, in fact, all the money that was made on those autograph photos went to the military man as well. So I saw with my own eyes how special this man is. And you know, this is why I brought up that gentleman on Ashley Mazzaro Daughter Educational Fund GoFundMe. Because you didn't see this guy immediately go on Twitter or Facebook or everyone else and say, hey, I just donated $1,500 to Ashley's kid. No, he kept it to himself. And Mick Foley, if people out there had any idea how many examples and how many times Mick Foley has done good things for people that is never written about, that is never advertised, that is never told. I don't want Mick Foley to pass away anytime soon, but I will tell you, I'm going to tell you now, when that man goes, you're going to see thousands of people come out of the woodwork and say, you know what? I got to tell this story. One time Mick Foley did blah, 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 blah for me. But he told me, don't say anything public. I don't want anybody to know. You have no idea. And there are a lot of other good people as well. I mean, I don't want to single anybody out because it's unfair for people who I don't single out. But lately, you see a lot of worthy causes to people in wrestling. And whose name always pops up in the donation box? Chris Jericho. Always, over and over and over. And people even told me that Jericho possibly donated money to superstar Billy Graham. Look at all the comments that Billy Graham has said recently. So many fans want to punch him in the goddamn mouth or kick him in the hip. And think of the controversy that happened with Graham and Jericho. And look, it may not have been. I thought when I saw that donation on Graham's GoFundMe, my immediate reaction was, okay, somebody donated the money and put, you know, Jericho's name on there just to, maybe as a little, you know, subliminal joke or something like that. I don't know, but a lot of people said to me, no, it was really him. So let's move on to AEW. And by the way, this segment is brought to you by Texas Podcast Massacre. We plug them every week. You can find them on YouTube. Just an awesome podcast that focuses on horror films. You know, not the great, you know, Friday the 13th, but fucking Sunday the 14th or Monday the 11th. All these bullshit, no frills, $800 budget horror shows from yesteryear. And they do talk about some really good cult classics. So go check them out. It is just a very unique show, Texas Podcast Massacre. Another very unique show on YouTube is DJ Dells and his Sneaker Addict podcast. He does podcasts that strictly review sneakers, but he also does a lot of wrestling-related podcasts, a lot of interviews, really, really good people. DJ Dells, you can find him on YouTube under the Sneaker Addict. We'll get into some more plugs a little bit later. Now, AEW is in a little controversy right now. I don't even know if they know it. You know, Monday I talked a little bit about Cody. I talked a few things about AEW, but one of the things I talked about was Cody saying how, oh, they're going to focus on stats and how people win and how pins are done. And if someone beats someone this way and beats someone or loses to someone that's much heavier than them and blah, 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 blah. And that's how they're going to do ratings. And I went on the show Monday and I said, look, If fucking wrestling is not broken, don't try to fucking fix it or rebuild it. The stats idea has been used in different ways over the years, and it never leads to any success because this is still entertainment, all right? You can't try to portray these stats things when you yourselves are the one determining who wins and who loses. It's dumb, it's moronic, and it's very hard to do when you have wrestlers that are not under contract. CPAC. That was one of my biggest concerns early on. And out of everybody in the DTKC Super Inner Circle, everybody knows I defended AEW for the most part. I had a couple little issues here and there, but totally behind Conrad with StarCast. Totally have no problem with that. AEW, I want to see succeed, but I also try to keep things in perspective. And the number one thing that I said from day one that I was concerned about is the idea of these contracts. And when you have a lot of people that are not under exclusive deals, you know, if it's going to end up similar to an indie promotion, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Now, everybody thinks because it may fall in line with other wrestling companies that, oh my God, it's terrible. And that happened today. They announced today that the winner of the 21-man Casino Battle Royal will then go on to face the winner of the match between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho to become the first AEW champion. Now, I don't believe that match is happening at Double or Nothing. That would be stupid because Omega and Jericho are going to tear it up for about 20 to 30 minutes. They're not going to have a title match the same night, although I don't think. So the winner of the Battle Royal is going to face the winner of them on the next event, next pay-per-view, I'm assuming. All right? I think on the surface, I don't think anybody has an issue with it. So what are people saying now? Wait a minute. This is what people are saying. They're saying, wait a minute, let me get this straight. We're going to be different. We're doing stats. We're going to base, you know, things on how people win a Sinet. But yet the first half of the championship match is going to win based on throwing someone over a top rope. Think about that. That's the backlash today. That, oh, you're just doing the fucking WWE Royal Rumble route. And AEW is getting hammered. And some fans are really torn because they want to blindly support AEW no matter what. But then they're fed this and like, but wait a minute, what happened to stats? What happened to being different? What happened to this? And now all of a sudden somebody wins a battle royal is going to get a title shot and blah, blah. The first time around, my reaction to all of that, it backs up what I said Friday. AEW does not have to reinvent the wheel. You know, the first car was built in what, 1912? Around that time, I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to pause the show and check it out. But it was in the early 1900s. If I remember correctly, the first car was on four wheels. It had an engine. It had windows. It had doors. Okay? I don't see cars now all of a sudden have six wheels. I don't see them having fucking... You understand what I'm saying? Like, they just made the cars better. AEW does not have to fucking reinvent the car or reinvent the wheel. Just make your product better. Just give an entertaining product from beginning to end. And if you do that and stop trying to make it sound like we're going to do things that other people have not done and blah, 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 and people are going to hold you accountable. You know, TNA in 2002, you didn't have fucking Twitter. You might have had MySpace, if I remember correctly, but you didn't have Twitter, you didn't have Facebook. So, especially Twitter. You know, TNA promised certain things and then things did not end up the way that it should have. And then you had some people who really weren't on, you know, like deals or exclusive contracts. And there was issue. There weren't thousands of tweets to answer to. Don't fucking promise that you're going to reinvent a whole bunch of shit. Because if it doesn't work, or not only that, the amount of work that is involved to change that. I wouldn't be fucking devoting your time like that. I would just be concerned with getting people under contract, putting out as many shows as you possibly can. You know, the TV is going to start up in October. Again, I still don't know. Are we going to get live shows? Are these just going to be, you know, similar to what ECW was in the early to mid-90s, that you tape an event and you air a couple of clips from the event across 2-3 weeks to lead up and eventually lead up to a pay-per-view? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I was fucking diehard ECW fan back then. Did ECW reinvent the wheel? Yeah, they did a lot of hardcore stuff. They weren't the first one to do hardcore. And if anybody out there thinks so, you know, you're probably just either a very young wrestling fan or you're a dope. So I don't think AEW needs to reinvent the wheel. Just put on a great product. Anyway, their pay-per-view is this weekend. Let me give you the matches. SoCal Uncensored, which is Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky versus Seema T. Hawk and Ed Lindemann. It's a six-man tag match. You know, look, Daniels is up there in age. Kazarian as well, Scorpio Sky, but they're doing a lot of shit for the company. I think SoCal Uncensored should take that one. Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. You know, it's interesting because Jericho, you know, he's just a veteran and he's just a mega star. And Kenny Omega is, you know, he's still, you know, becoming a major star in the United States. I think Omega should advance on this one, even though I am a tremendous Jericho fan and he has just absolutely tore it up since leaving WWE. Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae. I'm going to go with, I guess, Britt Baker. Cody versus Dustin, Battle of the Brothers. You know, man, this is so hard because everybody thinks immediately, Cody, you know, all the stuff he's doing for AEW, you know, he's got to be the one getting a victory here and shit like that. I'm going to just try to play the wild card and throw a little swerve, and I'm going to go with Dustin. Now, this 21-man casino battle royal, I'm telling you right now, I'm not predicting a winner, and I'll tell you why. They still have, I think, 4 slots that need to be filled. And I just get this weird feeling that one of those 4 slots is going to win this battle royal. Right now, the participants announced are Ace Romero, Brandon Cutler, Sonny Kiss, Brian Pillman Jr., Glacier, Sunny Days, Joey Janela, MJF. Anybody that's right now saying, Glacier? Well, you don't follow the indies all that much lately. Joey Janela, Dustin Thomas, Jimmy Havoc, Billy Gunn, Michael Nakazawa, Jungle Boy, Isaiah Cassidy, Luchasaurus, Mark Quinn, Sean Spears, was formerly Ty Dillinger in WWE, and 4 wrestlers to be named later. The Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers, Penta El Zero and Phoenix. It is a tag team match for the AAA World Tag Team Championships. Right now, the Young Bucks are the champions. I don't know, man. I always felt like they got the AAA titles, so they would be champions going into this pay-per-view. I'm going to go with the Lucha Brothers to win those belts. Kip Sabian versus Sammy Guevara. I'm going to go with Guevara. We have a 6-woman tag match featuring Aja Kong, Yuka Sakazaki, and Emi Sakura versus Ryo. Some people pronounce it Ryo. And Ryo Mizunami, along with Hikaru Shida. And if you notice, full credit to my history shows I do every week, that my Japan has gotten much better. I'm going to go with the team of Aja Kong, Sakazaki, and Sakura. And finally, Jack Evans teaming up with Angelico versus Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta. I'm going to go with Jack Evans and Angelico. I want to see them get it. So with that, that is your card for AEW this weekend. A lot of people are asking if we're going to, or at least I'm going to do a pay-per-view recap. Not sure yet. I mean, obviously, I'll get into results, but I'm going to do my damnedest to actually make some time and watch it this weekend. To be honest with you, there's really no reason why I shouldn't. It sounds like a strong card. Is it worth $60? No, in my opinion. But as I have said for years and years and years, going back to the late 90s with my hotline, when ECW fucking sold VHS tapes for $35 or $30, when that fucking video game came out and it was the drizzling shits, I overpaid because I wanted to be one of the first to play it. I overpaid for a lot of ECW stuff over the years. Why? Because I was a big supporter, a big fan, and I wanted it. So if you're a big supporter of AEW and you want to invest, because that's what it is. It's an investment. The only return you pretty much get is entertainment. You don't get any stock. And speaking of stock, I appreciate everybody who caught on to it. You know, a month ago on Breakfast with Blasi, I got into this whole discussion with WWE, with all this crazy revenue that they've made over the last year. The stock hitting $100 a share a year ago. How come they still feel like they're booking stuff on the cheap? What did I say a month ago? I think WWE is preparing for this stock to take a nice little dip. Not a tiny little dip, a nice dip. And you can no longer blame it on Khashoggi and everything else. No, I predicted a month ago that that stock is going to be taking a dip very, very soon. Well, a month later, that stock is down 22%. Don't get lazy. Do a little search and find out how much revenue, how much worth is 22%. Over 100 million? Maybe over 200 million in worth? I don't know. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I know it's somewhere in that range. In 1 year, they went from $100 a share. Now it's like 76 or 77. Now, people are asking me in the last couple of days, hey, what do you think is going to happen with the stock next? I think it's actually going to go back up. In fact, a month from now, I wouldn't be surprised if that stock is back to around, let's do an odd number instead of, you know, being a safe. Let's go with $86 a share. Let's see a month later how close I am to that. It's going to go back up. Not everything is doom and gloom for WWE, even though a lot of you people out there think I'm their dick suckers for some reason, even though I criticize them quite a bit. Let's see what else we could get into. You know what? Before I do get into anything else, I want to give a shout out to our new and returning patrons. First, our two newest associate producers, Chris Harris and Keith Daugherty. Shout out to Savas Batsavanos, Sammy Setke, Jose Fuentes, Jason Hotskins, Chris Kazemi, Jaden, The Shape, 1978, Dwight Lake, Richard Brown, Aaron Jax Jackson, Don Tony's Whittle Kitty, James Paris, Paul Doonan, Danny Wild, Gary McNaughton, and Pepsi Bello. And I know some of you out there, I don't even know what Whittle Kitty means. I haven't even looked it up. My guess is it's probably a fucking baby kitty. I have no idea. Anyway, let's see. Adam Alisea was listening to the recap, thinks they put the briefcase with Brock so he could show up at any time. Dar, and I say that jokingly, you could still be a part-time player, and the logic seems it could be for the surprise element. Dar, even if they put him in a program with Seth Rollins. Now, I want to just stop there before he goes any further. You know, word around the campfire is that Brock is going to cash in his briefcase Monday so he could face Seth Rollins at the Saudi Arabia event, Super Showdown. Makes sense. Interesting that WWE has decided to get both briefcases added away within 2-3 weeks of Money in the Bank. Think about that. Within 2-3 weeks, both briefcases are gone. So that storyline of, you know, the year-long, 6 months-long, 3 months-long, anything can happen at any time thing, nah, ain't happening this year. So it looks like that Brock will cash in the briefcase. I personally don't understand why they just didn't announce Brock versus Seth for the pay-per-view and then tease the briefcase for something else. But hey, this is how they want to do it. I got news for you. I wouldn't be surprised to entice Saudi Arabia to make them feel that the event is even more special, that WWE told them that they're going to do a storyline where that briefcase, where the storyline usually goes almost a year, that we're going to cash in, and after 2 weeks, we're going to announce that Brock Lesnar is going to face Seth Rollins in your country. Doesn't surprise me. And look, as I talked about yesterday on DTKC Show Extra on Patreon with Mish and Kev Castle, you know, we don't want to repeat discussions that we had there because, look, you miss it, you miss it. I mean, I'm not saying it would be spiteful or anything, but one thing I did say yesterday, Dolph Ziggler showing up last night. Anybody follows my Twitter, you saw what I did. He cut this very passionate promo, very emotional, you know, to the point where it looks like he was almost crying. And we've talked about in the past with Charlotte that sometimes you get so intense in a moment that you start crying. Doesn't mean you're sad. And it almost looked like that Dolph Ziggler was going to start crying. Now, I wrote jokingly on social media that in case you still didn't understand why Dolph Ziggler came back at this particular time, let me translate it into easier, simpler terms you could understand. And I wrote it in Arabic. And when people translated it, it said, "I did it for the prince." Yeah, a little joke to The Rock, but I did it for the prince. Dolph Ziggler is back because of Saudi Arabia. There's reports that Kevin Owens didn't want to go this time around. WWE respected that. So they made an offer to Dolph Ziggler that he couldn't refuse, and he's going to be facing Kofi in Saudi Arabia. Now, for anybody out there, it's funny, and I'm not going to single anybody out, but this just goes to what I said earlier about stupidity. A lot of the people who are angry at WWE continuing to work with Saudi Arabia despite what's been going on in their country, they've been voicing out and having a passionate view on it, which I respect, but yet they are upset with Kevin Owens for backing out and not wanting to appear. Think about that for a minute. You're trashing WWE for going to Saudi Arabia, and then a wrestler decides he doesn't want to go, and you trash him. Which one is it? I'm serious. I read that quite a few times today, and I wanted so bad to fucking respond. But I was like, you know, fuck them. Fuck them all. It's just the way I feel. And as I said Sunday night, you know, you can't discount that teaser that he's going to cash in on Kofi, but I don't see that happening. Speaking of SmackDown, I got to mention this because somebody pointed this out today, which really surprised me. On the WWE website right now, they have Becky Lynch still being advertised as a SmackDown superstar. Yet, she is the Raw Women's Champion. Now, what have you heard, including us? She was the Raw Women's Champion now, and now with her being a Raw Women's Champion, she's going to stay on Raw and focus on Raw. Makes common sense. WWE still advertising her as a SmackDown wrestler who happens to have the Raw title. Then why are people shocked when Becky Lynch shows up on SmackDown? I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about WWE, the announcers, the commentators. You know, you may not pick up on it, but a lot of us do. Why would the commentators be surprised if Becky shows up on SmackDown with the Raw Women's Championship if she is still classified as a SmackDown wrestler? See what I mean? You know, WWE is trying to be cutesy with the way they use some of their talents. And, you know, the idea of the wild card has been blown out of proportion. And, you know, we have talked about this not too long ago. We mentioned on Breakfast Soup last week. Would not surprise me if WWE, this whole superstar shakeup, was just, you know, I mean, obviously it's done to try to pop a rating. But at the same time, though, they had no intention on moving anybody really to different brands other than really, like, you know, down the card talent. Sure, you had a couple of people here and there that moved, Finn Balor and others, but for the most part, like the Usos or Roman Reigns or Becky Lynch or something like that, you know, it's like they really never had any intention on taking them off the brand that they were on. So they use Roman Reigns as the wild card to be on Raw. And when it comes to SmackDown, Becky Lynch will remain the SmackDown star who happens to have the Raw Women's belt. So anyway, you know, I want to mention this too because a lot of people think it's cute and it's funny and they think it's, and this is weird because I'm actually going to defend Sasha Banks. Not really defend her, but I'm not going to criticize her. You know, people find it cute. They found a banner on WWE.com. When you cancel your WWE network subscription, they have a series of banners that are basically saying, you know, don't cancel. Think about it. You know, maybe we could change your mind. And they have various wrestlers, Cena, few others. Well, they also have Sasha Banks. And there's an ad right now that pops up randomly. If you try to cancel your network subscription, it'll say, "Don't quit, be legit." And it's a picture of Sasha Banks. So right away, everybody's like, "Oh, snap! WWE just threw shade on Sasha. Look, don't quit, Be legit. That banner's been on their website since last year, everybody. And you know what's pathetic? A lot of people listening right now, you knew that also because we talked about it already. But they actually alerted those websites and social media pages that that banner's been up since last year. You think they took their news article down? No. They knew it was there since last year, but they still did it as clickbait. They want you to click on the article anyway. Bullshit. Fuck you. Anyway, I tell you, this surprised the shit out of me. A couple of days ago, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame announced their inductees for the class of 2019. And one of the names on the list was Bruno Sammartino. I actually did a double take. I actually had to like go read the article myself and say, wait a minute, after all these years, Bruno is not a Hall of Fame inductee already? Apparently not. And that's just mind-boggling. But anyway, for those that are curious, the class of 2019 is Beth Phoenix, Bruno, Thunderbolt Patterson, Sergeant Slaughter, Brian Shields, and Daniel Cormier. Sergeant Slaughter, Beth Phoenix, and Brian Shields are attending. Daniel Cormier cannot. He's getting the George Tragos Award. I know some of you pronounce it Tragos. Also, Natty, Sheamus, Jim Ross, J.J. Dillon, Brian Blair, Gerald Briscoe, Rob Schomburger, which I believe is the artist for WWE, Victoria, Ultimo Dragon, Wes Briscoe, Brian Pillman Jr., Tony Garea, Nick Dinsmore, James Beard, Charlie Dez, Tony Garea. Somebody actually listed Wade Keller's name in there as well. Yeah, okay. That's almost like when you go to like a convention and they advertise it like, I don't know, the Mid-Atlantic Convention. And then you see Maven advertised for it as well, or a wrestler that just seems way out of place. Yeah. Anyway, 24/7 title. We had a lot to say about it the last 48 hours. I guess that's what WWE wanted, right? Well, you know, I made this comment yesterday. I'm sticking to it. After digesting this for about 36 hours, this feels like the Benny Hill title. And I'm not going to praise or trash this title yet. It is way too early to tell. But one thing WWE's got to be very careful about is this cannot turn into the avoidance title. And what I mean by that is it can't be a Tomcat and Jerry Mouse chase or the Roadrunner and Wildy Coyote, you know, every week. All right, you want to do it once in a while, that's fine. But if you're going to win the title just to run away all the time, the avoidance title, and it's going to bomb very quickly. WWE, back in the day with the hardcore title, did do segments like that where people would escape. I gave a couple of good examples last night. My favorite hardcore match of all time in the WWE for the WWE hardcore title is, you know, one that involved a lot of avoidance. But the point is, there's got to be a balance. You know, there's got to be some weeks where somebody actually defends the title in the ring, and after the match is over, you don't have 30 people coming out to chase that person all the time. It's going to get old very, very fast. And I understand the temptation to do it because it's lazy writing, but in some scenarios, if it's not done repeatedly, it's going to just look really, really dopey. So I am not shitting on this title at all. In fact, you know, I'm very supportive of it. I've wanted the hardcore title back for years. If somebody would have said to you in the past, look, okay, which belt do you want it back? Oh, I want the hardcore title back more than anything. Okay, what if I told you that they would bring it back, but it's got to go under a different name? You know what most people would say? Oh, call it whatever they want. Let them call it whatever they want. That's fine as long as we get some type of title and it's a little bit different. And I think it'll be so much better on this is an alto. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Anyway, Jeffrey Collins. Do I feel like R-Truth might be the Crash Holly 24/7 title? You're coming up with that after 24 hours. You know, I said originally on Monday that I did not see any women interacting with the men because the men could hit the women. The women could hit the men, but the men cannot retaliate. So now I actually see a little bit of a scenario possibly happening. Maybe Carmella turns on R-Truth. It ain't light. Excuse me. You know, I feel really rude yawning on these shows, but here's the facts. I only got 2 hours sleep on Monday. Yesterday, I only got maybe 3 hours sleep. And Sunday night, we did the pay-per-view recap and went 30 minutes way too long. And then I had to edit and splice and codec and shit. I probably have gotten maybe 9 hours sleep since Saturday night. I'm not kidding. So I'm home for lunch. And I don't even get to like relax and have lunch because I love all of you out there. And I'm not saying that for everybody to say, oh, Don Tony, you do so much for us. I love doing these. And I love the fact that you enjoy them. And we all one big family. And I'm not saying that to pander. We really are. You know, it's amazing to look back even a year ago. You go back with me in the hotline days from 1997 to maybe 2001. Oh, I'm the nicest guy, or even the XPW stuff. Oh, he does so much for us with the bus trips and this and that. And then for some reason, from 2002 to maybe a year ago, you know, I a lot of people would just, oh, he's a dick, he's an asshole, can't approach him, can't say this and that. And I made a conscious decision less than a year ago. I said, you know what, man? Some of you out there are so dedicated for what's done on these shows. And I said, you know, enough of this bullshit of just, you know, complaining and hating and shitting on stuff. And then when New Year's came around, people asked me, what's your New Year's resolution? I never answered. Because if I wouldn't have come through, people would have ripped me to pieces. And if I would have said it back then, the end of December, people would have laughed and said, yeah, okay, that's going to last 1 week. And my New Year's resolution was if people felt that I was going balls out between these shows and the Patreon shows, that I was going to increase that by 100%. And not only that, I was going to open my book as much as possible. I was going to smile more. I was going to treat people with respect a shit lot more. Yes, we goof on the goofy podcasts and the websites. I try not to individually name people. I try to do it in a more generalistic term because, look, it's very frustrating. I mean, the Kayla Braxton story was the quintessential example of that. You had all these websites writing this exaggerated shit about Kayla Braxton at the airport with the so-called wannabe Uber guy. The guy was a creep. The guy, she did everything right. And she was warning women online, don't fall for this. 9 times out of 10, it's just a guy trying to get a payday without paying his boss and doing it on this as a side job. But that 1 time out of 100, I know I said 9 out of 10, but I mean 99 out of 100 times. But that one time, it could be someone with some really horrible motives in mind. There's a reason why when you do Uber or Lyft or anything else, they give you the plate number, the name of the person. This way it gives you comfort and you feel like, okay, I could trust them and I know I'm not going to find a stranger. Look at that tragedy that happened about 6 months ago. A woman went to a bar and she thought she was getting into her Uber to go home. And a guy fucking raped and killed her. And it wasn't an Uber driver. He was pretending to be one. So I get it. What happened to Kayla Braxton? That's scary shit. You know, even though, you know, notice when people first started bringing the story to me, my first reaction was, okay, where do I see the police being notified? If she was, it was an abduction attempt, where's the report of the cops in this and that? Warning people on Twitter without cops, it just didn't, something felt like it was wrong. And I didn't want to say anything negative about Kayla Braxton because I honestly didn't know what was the complete story. So I kept my mouth shut. I did a little research, and then I found that people were coming to their own conclusions. Notice how they keep coming to these wrong conclusions repeatedly. But yet, when someone dies, they have the perfect conclusion for everything. They know everything. They know everything. They know nothing. They know nothing. Take your sources that said the Legends title on Monday and everything like that and shove it up your ass. Seriously. Anyway, I want to see Lars get the 24/7 belt. And I want to see him come out and fucking challenge anybody and nobody comes out. Fucking stop this chasing shit. Do it in spurts. Don't make it the regular thing. It's got to be a balance. Have matches. without people running out in 5, 10, and 20. Have matches once in a while when no one comes out. And then sometimes you could be in a situation, but I do want to see skits. I want to see R-Truth in a restaurant. I want to see him at a toy store. I want to see him on the fucking street. I want to see him in a park. I mean, now because they do stuff with camera phones for WWE television, he could be fucking sleeping in his house. And maybe, I don't know if he's married. I never bothered to look at his personal life. His wife could fucking pin him for all I care. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, be a little bit creative with this stuff. Little simple things people remember 20 years from now. I always, when I think of hardcore title from back then, I think of many memories. But when I think of props, I think of Al Snow's bowling ball. Come on, something simple that we haven't thought of yet will be used and people will fucking remember it 20 years from now. Mr. Wombat. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Wombat? Every time I hear his name, Mr. I'm not trying to make fun. He knows that. Our patrons at sending topics for the shows are awesome. But every time I hear his name, I think of Caddyshack and Rodney Dangerfield. Remember when in the golf store? Mr. Wang. You know, give him balls, this, that. Hey, Mr. Wang. Hey, what you doing, Mr. Wang? Mr. Wombat. MLW and CMLL are on YouTube. Impact the AAA are on Twitch. Twitch. Every time I say that, some people are like, you sound like Donald Trump. Twitch. Notice I keep the political talk off these shows as much as possible now. I have a separate show that I get into politics stuff, but wrestling shows, I try to keep it off unless people really want me to tackle a specific thing. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Stardom, all, you know, similar price to WWE Network. Those are just a few promotions. Why so many people waiting for AEW when there's a number of alternatives out there? Because everybody's looking for the golden egg. Everybody's looking for the golden egg. Lucha Underground was great. But I remember a couple of years ago saying, you know, I'm not convinced about their future. I don't like these seasonal promotions. You know, and I don't like when AEW says, we're not having an off season. Pro wrestling shouldn't have an off season. You want to give wrestlers a month off to relax and recharge and be with their family? Fine. I think it should be done on podcast. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, I will be taking a week off. Mr. Castle will be taking a week off from Monday. You know, you need to take some time off. Now, obviously, we're not comparing us to wrestlers, but, you know, there is no off season. There is no season. And you know why there's no off season? Because you don't want people who are going to fall out of wrestling for a couple of months and then never come back. So the idea of being a climax or, you know, continuation every week leaves people that want to tune into the following week. Just back in the day, you know, we used to hear, we're out of time, come back next week, and blah, blah. I don't understand why they don't do that right now. They go off the air at 11 o'clock, they're forced to, there's no more overrun. Why aren't they fucking saying, we're out of time, we got to go, blah, 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 blah. Let people get angry. It's a USA. Come on, man, 5 more minutes. They don't do that. That's fucking easy shit. And, oh, how do you all like my idea? I said it yesterday. I got to take a little credit for it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I like trying to think of really outside the box. But I mean really outside the box. We don't know what's going on with Rey Mysterio. The U.S. title future is going to be addressed on Monday. Rey, rumors, he was seen at Dr. James Andrews. He's injured. He's not injured. It's storyline. It's not storyline. I came up with an idea. Whether he's injured or he's quote-unquote injured, you could do one of two things. Rey doesn't want to give up the belt, is reluctant to give up the belt, feels like he has no choice but to give up the belt. Maybe Samoa Joe forces him to give up the belt in front of him. I don't think they'll do a Shane Douglas with Shawn Michaels where he's handed the title because there is no title match scheduled where Rey has to forfeit. But maybe Samoa Joe forces Rey to turn it over, and Rey's got the puppy eyes and everything. And Dominic, you know, just spits out, I'll defend the title for you, Dad. And for anybody out there that thinks it's a dopey idea, didn't Drew Maverick just lose the tag belts not too long ago because he wrestled in an AOP match? I'm good. Let me be in this match. WWE's done it. Didn't Leo Rush? Wasn't there some with Leo Rush where he got pinned because he wanted to be in the match with Lashley? So don't give me, oh, yeah. So I thought, you know, maybe Dominic could offer, or you could do the opposite. Samoa Joe could suggest to Ray that Dominic defend the title for him. We don't know what Dominic could do. I think that's the greatest thing about it. Yeah, I don't like his haircut. He's goofy. He looks too generic. He don't look like a wrestler. But you know what? That whole storyline might be the perfect thing. He don't look like he wrestles. But we hear great things. Lance Storm taught him good. So you could see the match happening. Samoa Joe thinks he's got it in the bag, playing around, pushing him around, you know, just like acting like, I don't want to hurt you. You're just a kid and blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, fucking Dominic throws move after move after move after move after move. And people are just like, holy fucking shit. Look at this guy go. And he gets the surprise win on Samoa. Or you could go to WWE cheap route. For everybody says always defend WWE. And he does this to Schoolboy. I think that's great. Does that idea sound a little familiar, that last part? I wanted that to be for Eva Marie. Everybody thought Eva Marie wrestled like shit. She had quite a few matches in NXT. Was she great? No. But you saw little clips of her trying to really improve, and you thought that, hey, you know, maybe she can do a little bit. I wanted them to not showcase anything at all. Don't even show a hint that she could wrestle a little bit. Then they do a match, and she fucking just whips out a bunch of moves, and people are just like, huh? What the fuck did I just see? I think that would have been perfect. Didn't work out, but I'm telling you, what do you think about my Dominic idea? Now, I definitely tweeted it, and I'm not saying I'm the first person that came up with that, but I checked, and I didn't see anybody before I did. Just an idea. Adon, do I think Bayley cashing in so quickly is how WWE views women in general? No, I think the suspension of the briefcase is probably over exceeded its welcome for the time being. And like I said, don't be surprised when in a month both briefcases are cashed in. And they move on to other ideas, which actually I don't have a problem with. Getting back to Mr. Wombat. Hey, Mr. Wombat, why is there so much backlash about the Saudi shows when the same people complaining will give WWE money? It's the outrage online. You know, people don't know when to keep their outrage and views to themselves. They need that acknowledgement back. They need to be tweet-fucked. They need to be tweet-fucked with their mind and sometimes tweet-fucked by whacking off. Oh my God, this attractive girl liked my tweet. She's actually talking to me. She's actually responding back to me. Holy shit, she's got some sexy pictures. And they whack off. Think I'm kidding? No, I don't do that, by the way. I know people are like, yeah, right. Why are you saying it? No, seriously. That's one of the things that I fucking predicted about social media. And I don't predict everything. A lot of you out there predict this stuff too. Let's be honest. Yeah, I'm the one with the microphone. If only you had microphones too, you'd all would have said most of this too. I'm not taking sole credit for it, but you could see this a mile away. I mean, that's why I keep fucking writing the nasty shit that I write on Twitter about these people. Because when I gave the Family Guy example earlier, that ain't the only show that came up with this revolutionary, funny, you know, moment. They are poking fun at what happens all the time on social media. There is an addiction going on right now. And that addiction is being tweet-fucked, being mind-fucked. That a lot of people out there have gotten so addicted to getting responses. Think about it. You're watching Raw. And does, you know, why do you have to write about after every match or every moment? Why are you writing it? Even for podcasters that do shows during the week, why? Maybe for them because they want to express their opinion for their listeners, and that is fine. No problem at all. But for others out there, you know, when somebody writes a comment and they fucking do at blah, 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 and they include like 15 people in their one-liner, you're basically saying, hey, look what I said. Like it, please. Oh, my God. Now, for young fans, there is nothing wrong with that. Being acknowledged from a famous wrestler or somebody you like or someone that's larger than life or your favorite show, that's cool. When you see fucking grown-ass 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old adults doing it, man, something wrong there. And it's pathetic. You see people online. I'm telling you, people, if you think I'm exaggerating, take a step back for a minute. Take someone who you may believe is doing that. Or sometimes you think I'm individually picking people out. Take a step back and look at these all these profiles that you believe that this could have something to do with. And what you will find is, my God, blah, 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 as Forrest Gump. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 5 years, for years and years and years. This person has been writing this and saying this and writing that. There's never been one person to back up the story. There's never been one photo. There's never been one video. In the day of 2019, where everything is being fucking recorded for every little reason, there is no photogenic proof of anything. And it's a competition. It is a mental competition. He's getting 100 likes. I have to write something even more catchy. I need 100 likes. Oh, we saw something on TV about, you know, women being abused. Of course it's disgusting. If you're offended by that, if you're offended by animal abuse, if you're offended by violence, if you're offended by racism, of course you should be outraged. That's a good thing if you're outraged. That means if you're outraged, it diminishes the chance of you doing it inside. But the fact that you got to speak out and voice out and comment about every little thing, and when nobody pays attention, you got to up it a notch. You got to amp it up a notch. You got to retweet it. You got to talk about something else and this, that. And then you get a little bit of acknowledgement or notice. And, you know, it feels good. It feels good to write something and people feel the same way as you. But when you take that and you abuse it, and now you don't go out anymore. You don't go out on dates. You don't try to get a better job. You don't try to do this. You don't try to do that. You don't try to make friends. You don't try to socialize. You don't try to do any. You don't do anything to improve your life. Why the fuck should I take advice from people online that are shadier than a fucking bookshelf that hasn't had pledge in about 20 years? I mean, just dusty, shady. As Mish said yesterday, a plastic cup. I mean, someone that's just, there's no pages open whatsoever. All you take a step back and you realize, my God, I've been following this person for 10 years and their profile is a cartoon character and their nickname is fake. And I don't even know where the person lives. And this person has made every claim and did everything and rescued people from burning buildings and rescued animals from 18-foot trees and fucking helped a bum, you know, with a job and did this and that and fucking got laid by 5 women the other night and blah, 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 and all this stuff for years and years and years. And you realize, my God, this person is the fucking guy in the hospital bed and on the fucking Family Guy thing. Because you create this fake profile about yourself because you want to feel important. You want to feel wanted. It is an addiction to be think of kids, grammar school, high school. A lot of people want to feel popular. They want to feel like they're the leader of a movement without working, without actually doing stuff. Oh, I'll tweet. I'll tweet. Oh my God, let's start this crusade against WWE. How am I going to do it? I'll tweet. I'll tweet. But meanwhile, you don't do fucking nothing in real life. You do nothing. So that's the lazy way of popularity. That's the lazy way of feeling important. And that's fucking pathetic. And the Saudi shows, same thing as Ashley Massaro. Wasn't 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago that article came out. That article came out 2.5 years ago about the military incident, the rape, and the allegation that Vince told her to suck it up or whatever else. And they fucking ignored it. Why? Because if they would have talked about it at that time, since 99% of the people ignored it, that they would have gotten maybe 2 hearts, 2 likes, and that's not good enough. So now because everybody's talking about it, now I'll get all passionate, write all these articles because, holy shit, I'm getting 117 likes. You know, when you are true, to your feelings, and you are true for your emotions, and you are true to, you know, how you express yourself, you get outraged and you talk about it whether one person is paying attention or a million people are paying attention. And when you see all these fucking people come out of the woodworks now with all these fucking crusades and vents and right this and that, well, you didn't give a fuck 2.5 years ago. Sorry, you get no credibility from me whatsoever. And when you want to give advice and fucking tell people this or offer this or this and that, and you are fucking, there is nobody knows nothing about you online other than the bullshit that you've fed. Sorry, I ain't buying into your shit. And it's sad because there are a boatload of people that do that. Sadly, some people listening do that. It's addicting. It's tempting. I don't blame people for, you know, feeling that way. But man, you know, if you lead by example, remember that phrase, lead by example, not lead by tweet. There's a big difference. I choose to lead by example. Should the Ashley Massaro affidavit gain more traction? Wow, that's funny, Mr. Wombat, because I didn't even look at your question before. Yeah. And thank you for your service, Mr. Wombat, by the way. He is a veteran. I forgot to mention that earlier. Cockboy. Now, look, we go back and forth with topics. Have I ever gotten head blowjob while I'm driving on the highway? No. Why does New York have shitty gun laws? Here in Jersey, we could legally defend ourselves with pepper spray, mace, Swiss knives. With a gun license, you could obtain a gun and legally shoot a killer trespasser and invade your home. New York, on the other hand, doesn't permit any of those. I find that a little kind of tight, you know, as far as the way you're describing it. I know my father carries. I know that if somebody would have broke into our home at that time, my father would have defended himself. And sure, maybe he would have had to have gone downtown and be investigated a little bit. But there have been stories here in New York of people defending themselves. And as long as they had everything legally, they did not get in trouble with the law. Yeah, New York gun laws. Look, it's tragic to see all the shootings that have been elevated at churches and mosques and schools. But the one common denominator about all of them is that people are going to areas where they're the chance of the fewest guns being around, especially churches. They don't want to put an armed guard at a church. Oh, it doesn't look right. Motherfucker, I want to be protected. I want to feel that it's safe when I go to church. You know, oh, I'm not going to go to church because I don't feel comfortable because of guard outside. I hate this over-the-top PC stuff. If I'm a fucking criminal, I'm not a criminal and I'm not a shooter. You know, I just try to play devil's advocate and wonder, like, if I was nuts and I wanted to fucking shoot up a bunch of people, where am I going to go? I'm going to go someplace where the chances are there's nobody to shoot back at me that I might be able to get away. So what do? You go to soft targets. That's what they're called. So just because you have the strictest gun laws doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stop gun violence. But I do believe mental illness is a huge factor. And I have said, even though I'm a conservative Republican, but I believe in stronger background checks. The shit that I had to go through with the FBI to get my insurance license to sell insurance for Florida, you wouldn't believe it. I think people would have an easier time getting a gun license. I'm not kidding. I had to do such a crazy background check with the FBI in order to get my insurance license for Florida. So you want a gun that bad? If you have to wait a week because they have to do an extensive background check, so be it. I can't understand why there's so much of a problem of waiting a week. What's the fucking rush? I'm going hunting Saturday. I got to have the gun now. Well, guess what? You should have done it a little bit sooner. Oh, New Japan, you cancel their show in California. Oh, it's because of the fucking walkout and the gun. No, it wasn't. You waited too long. You know, people like to fucking wait too long for shit. No, if you're fucking planning ahead, I might go to fucking WrestleMania next year. In about 2 months, I'm going to start looking into plane fare and tickets and hotel. I ain't going to wait till Saturday, the Hall of Fame day, to try to figure shit out. When we did the get-together in Brooklyn, we had 2 years advance notice to get our shit together. And I had the fucking crazy diverticulitis surgery that almost prevented me from going. But I said, there's no way I'm not going to go. And so many people thought that I was lying through my teeth. That's why I posted the videos of the cannolis and going to pick them up and this and that and blah, 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 blah. I want to assure people that I was going to go. So look, you want something, you prepare for it. Anyway, what's my opinion on Byron Saxton? I think he's improved quite a bit. I actually have no problem with Byron Saxton on commentary. Is he a lead commentator? No, I actually like... mouthfuck Tom. I think Tom has really improved quite a bit, even more than Byron Saxton. I actually like Byron Saxton, Tom Phillips, and Corey Graves on commentary. I love when they goof on each other and then they have to mute their mics or fucking step on the mute pedal if they have one and fucking laugh up a storm because it's just so natural sometimes. So I actually like him, and I have defended Renee Young, man. That this is a new thing for her to do, live in front of millions of people every week. That's a lot of, you know, work to do. She ain't going to be a star overnight doing this on the mic. There is a ton of pressure. Not only is there a ton of pressure, there's a ton of timing. There's a ton of timing. You got to pick your spots when to talk. And Corey Graves and Michael Cole sometimes will pause so she can talk. So she has to have the wherewithal to spot that and have the instinct to respond. It's not easy. So if everybody out there that just fucking is crucifying her this soon, I think it's a little unfair. Just my opinion. John Coffey, he wanted to thank Mish. Poop Knife saved his life. Do we see Charlotte and Becky taking part in the next sex season of Total Divas since their relationships are so public? No. Just because you have a relationship doesn't mean you have to be on a Divas show. I think if they want to do it, if they're offered the right money, that they'll do it. I don't think that they would do it simply because they're having a relationship right now. No, I think that's a little off. In fact, I made the little comment yesterday. It'd be nice to see Seth Rollins show up on SmackDown once in a while, a little bit more, you know? Is WWE more concerned about making a superstar under their conditions or a superstar getting generically over with the crowd? Oh, you should know that, John. I talk about it almost every show. Things have to happen generically. It has to happen, well, not generically. I use the term organically. Things have to be organic. That's what Becky Lynch, that's how she got over originally. You know, she was always over, but she got extremely over with the crowd last year. It happened organically. It was not planned. Rusev Day happened organically. It was not planned. You know, things have to happen organically. And when it feels too forced, a lot of times it doesn't work. The Rock, when he turned into The Rock, when he was Rocky Maivia, a lot of that stuff happened organically. It wasn't forced. Sure, maybe he was being pushed a little bit too much when he was young. But as far as his character and his attitude, a lot of that was organic. And just a lot of shit with the Austin stuff, they took their time. They let it build organically. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, because their ratings are down, because their revenue is down, because their house show attendance is down, there's a sense of urgency. We don't have time to wait for certain things to develop organically. And I truly believe that they feel that way. If they had so many different things going on great at the same time, then you can utilize, you know, some extra time to get someone over a little bit more organically. And the problem is you could see with some of the lower card talent, they try to organically get them over. Next thing you know, 3 months gone by and they're off TV. WWE just moves on to the next person. And it's just the way it is. You know, you got to, you know, hit while the iron is hot. You got to strike while the iron is hot. And look, I like the idea as well as far as Lars winning the 24/7 title. I just don't think people should keep, you know, that their only way of trying to win it is to attack him from behind. I think people should be scared and say, no, it ain't worth it right now. No, thank you. I'll wait till fucking Drake Maverick gets the title. Then I'll fucking do something about it. Shout out to our associate producers, Tyke Z. Bowers, Chris Harris, Keith Doherty, Cockboy, Roger Rubio, Orhan Martin, Ernesto Defensa, Fatty 316, The Man, Stan Loudon, D-Boy Gentleman, Kane Shaw, Timothy Keel, Simon Hoodie Hood, James Mills, Brandon Davidson, CM Black, Tom Baffa, Tamina's Pocket Toy, John Krauser, Sheffield Mercury, Jacob Esten. And by the way, going forward on the shows, Monday and Wednesday, I'm going to really break up the plugs, meaning that, you know, I'll get into a few every few minutes. This way we don't just get into a list at the end. I don't like doing it at the very end. I think you guys should be acknowledged much earlier in the night. just that sometimes there's so many things going on, you lose your train of thought. Next thing you know, an hour and a half go by, and then you forget to, get in some more plugs. So starting Monday, that is going to be addressed a little bit differently. Plus, as I said on Monday, our Monday show, we are now starting to gun for a finish time at 12:30 a.m. Eastern. No, it is not to try to force people to join Patreon or anything like that. It's just that I cannot survive anymore on only 2 hours sleep on Monday nights. All right. It's very, look, I don't know what my co-host does during the day. I don't, but I don't think he has to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work. I do. So, unfortunately, I need to finish the show at a reasonable hour live so I could, get sleep. And not only that, it's not, eat, work, sleep, do shows, sleep. I got regular everyday life stuff to do as well. So it gets very hectic very quickly and it gets a little draining. So we have to fit 2 pounds of bologna in 1 pound bags from now on. Having 20-minute conversations about Rebbe Sky tweeting a flower, that shit ain't happening no more. Sorry, that ain't happening no more. Jay Smoothie, Virginia George, Michael John Buchanan, Matthew, Joseph Nikoluk, Stell, Rob from Nashville, John Krauser, Tony, Michael Rhino, Bad Boy Nico, Paul Convoy, Daniel Williams, Dan Hayes Valdez, Justin Rebstock, John Miller, Mark Redman, John Steck, John Coffey, Andrew 914, Zach Spunamori, Jerry Stewart, Magic Johnson, Paul Woods Jr., Rich Maharg, Adam DeMoy, Diogo Nobre, Diogo, the Andre the Giant Chile shirt is on its way to me already. So I think it'll be shipped out and heading over to Brazil sometime, I would say probably by Friday. Michael Cuomo, Daniel Warren, Brian Byrne, Rob McCabe, the Metaphysic Fox, Spider Lewin, Brandon Rice, Julian LeBlanc, Anna the Gay Banana, Carl Buteau, a.k.a. Cheese of Rice, Douglas McKay, Murray Coombs Jr., Russell Zavala, Donald J. Trump, James Deal, Crestman, C.J. Uihara, Scott Woodford, Jason Pratt, Josh Wilson, Mandingo Chamberlain, Lucia Dalban, Bob O'Mac, Tim Everhart, Jeffrey Collins, Mark Israel, James Gruesome, Mark... I'm getting tongue-tied. Anthony Smith, because my lunch hour is already over. Got to head back to the office. Out in the here, Aaron Kloss, Aaron Walker, Brent Webster, Hassan Al-Hashmi, Nico Time. Snap out of it. I just slapped myself in the face. Billy Taylor, Nico Time, Switch Babe, Courtney Summers. Courtney, I need an update. How everything's going with the podcast. Chuck Lentz, Brandon Foley, Michael Westfall, Johnny Marin. For everybody who supports Undercover Capes, Bob O'Mac, his podcast, Christ in the Toyverse, no longer use the YouTube channel. From now on, update your bookmarks, undercovercapes.com. In the category selection, select Toyverse. You get the podcast there. Shoot the Defense by Soccer Fans, for Soccer Fans, hosted by Stell. You can find them on Twitter, at Shoot the Defense. And I legit really did slap myself in the face. Not hard, but, try to wake myself up a little bit. The fuck is going on here? Rocked Reviews. Always try to, compare it to the Texas Podcast Massacre. They're totally different. One does movies, one does music. But Rocked Reviews just reviews albums in such a unique way. You don't even have to like the music. And the podcast is so entertaining. There's so many of you out there that have become fans of their work. I'm telling you, if you've never checked them out, they're on YouTube. It's free. You'll have a ball. SubZeroComics.com for all your wrestling comic book and pop culture collectible needs. Elman Shah has a great display store. His pop culture artwork on metal. He actually does this artwork and it's awesome. I actually, when I start video podcasting, you will see some of his artwork in the background. Not because he sent it for plugs, but I bought it. Shit's good. Yours Best Bargains LLC for all your, everyday needs with some collectibles. He has an Amazon store and an eBay store. Mike is very good people. And Raul Romo. He has an eBay site, the House of Cards, pro wrestling cards, packs, other vintage stuff. And I got to thank you, Raul. About a week ago, I bought a few packs of cards from his page to give to my nephew. And he sent me a couple of surprises. Some vintage cards of some of my favorites, Cactus Jack, Terry Funk, Backlund, others. And man, as I said yesterday and Monday, that little tobacco looking like card of Terry Funk. It was so cool. So cool. Right on my desk. Loved it. Thank you. And that's it, everybody. I'm out of time. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Breakfast with Blasi. Look, if you're newer to the show, you know, this is not reporting news. This is obviously getting into news, but it's all discussion. And on occasion, I do incorporate questions from some of our patrons because on the other shows as well, they set the foundation as far as their associate producers. They give a lot of input as far as what's discussed on the shows and what is not discussed on the shows. They lay the foundation down. I build on it. And hopefully when the show is over with at the end, you absolutely love the conversation. For anybody out there who is a goofy podcaster, who is a goofy website host, who is a fucking goofy person online that thinks I'm pointing the finger out towards you, I'm going to say this with all due respect. I am not perfect. I have a boatload of faults. I do come off as an asshole a lot on these shows. And yeah, I fucking, you know, act conceited and I brag a lot. I know I brag for the, you know, to piss off the haters more than anything. But one thing I know for sure deep down inside is that, you know, I bust my ass just like 95% of everybody who's listening as well. We leave our house and we go bust our ass to make our lives better, to put money in our pocket and do things. And, you know, to just sit at home and fucking do shit on Twitter almost 24/7 and then fucking make these fake auras about yourselves and then, you know, just these crazy fucking outrage. Again, especially for the websites and the podcasters, 2.5 years ago, you didn't give a shit that Ashley was accusing WWE of telling her to, you know, suck up about being sexually assaulted in Kuwait by military. But again, 2.5 years later, now you're in an outrage. Fuck you. Too late. Sorry. Young fans that didn't know about the story or didn't pay attention to it or followed certain websites and podcasts who never talked about it 2.5 years ago. All right. I totally get that. But for everybody else who saw the story, knew the story, you're reporters. You don't opine. Why didn't you get into it 2.5 years ago? Where's this fucking petitions 2.5 years ago? And again, how come nobody's fucking calling out the military? Because WWE is easy. It's easy talking. I'm not going to repeat what I said earlier. You heard it. But my God, in my opinion, let the fucking woman rest in peace. Let her rest in peace. If there is more to be done with this, Ashley Mazzaro's family will be the ones doing it. You know? Anyway, I'm out of here, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the week. Don't forget on Patreon, Thursday night, it is Dark Chronicles. This weekend's history show. I'm going to let everybody know right now is going to be a lot less clips than usual, but, you know, it's going to be the anniversary of Owen Hart's passing. And rather than playing news clips that talked about his death at the time and, you know, people talking about it, I decided this show is going to be nothing but positive and laughs and smiles. I got a whole bunch of clips together of wrestlers telling their stories about Owen Hart doing ribs. Some of it I legit laughed out loud in the privacy of my own home. Hearing Bret Hart laugh, I had to write about it on Twitter earlier just to express it. So I wonder if people felt that way too. You don't hear Bret Hart laugh much at all, ever. And to hear him openly, legitimately laugh, telling a rib story about his brother Owen, I'm like, man, that's what we need a little bit more of, laughing. You know, not these, you know, causes and agendas and trying to fucking, you know, act like judge, jury, and executioner and making people pay because you are upset and anguished about something that has nothing to do with you directly. I think we need a little bit more laughter. You know, again, I have this conversation with Mish a lot. We just talk about things in general online, and sometimes we talk about other shows, mostly respectful. But I say it all the time, and I write on Twitter too. If you're that angry, if you're that grumpy, if you're that down and in the dumps that you have to resort to stories and lies just to fucking get popularity, why are you running a website? Why are you writing a blog? Why are you doing shows? Straighten out your life first. You know, this is hobby. This is fun. This is gravy. This is spare time. Yeah, I make time. you know, it's not fun to fucking stay up until 4 a.m. editing and codecing and putting stuff together, doing research, gathering numbers, listening to dozens of hours of clips for history stuff, stuff like that. You know, this is not supposed to be easy. You know, fucking, it's not. So, you know, if you like something enough, you do it because you love it and you put in the time and effort. And if you can't put in that effort and time and you can't enjoy it and you're a grumpy cat all day long, why are all these people online doing shows, everybody? Because without it, they have no popularity at all. And all they end up being is just these fucking roly-poly, just blobs, goop. They're goop laying in beds, eating Doritos, doing nothing, realizing that, holy shit, 10 years of my life just went by and all I have to show for it is a fake profile on Twitter and a fake bio. Do you really want to be one of those people? I choose not to. And I know almost everybody out there is not as well. Anyway, I'm no expert in any of this stuff. These are just opinions. Drew Yari Show. What's up, Drew? Where was I? What was I doing in my reaction to when the Mets won Game 6 of the 86 World Series when the ball went through Buckner's legs? I've told this many times in the past. I was in my parents' living room. They let me stay up late to watch the game. Everybody else was asleep. I had the volume low, and I remember these chills going down my spine when it was two outs and they kept the game alive. And then you saw Gary Carter get the hit and Kevin Mitchell and then Ray Knight. And it was just surreal. And when they won the game, you know, at that time, I don't remember much about the weather. I don't know if it was raining, but I remember it being cold. And I'm watching NBC and Marv Albert interview Mookie Wilson and Ray Knight. And in the background, because we only lived a half a block away from Juniper Park, you heard horns from cars beeping, going nuts. People were going crazy celebrating. You would have never thought there were that many cars out that late at night. And you know for a fact that people were home and they just got in their cars, went to Juniper Park, started blasting the horns. It was awesome. It was awesome. Sharon Pierce, will there be a point eventually where I could safely go off my current strict diet? And if so, what will be the first thing that I eat that I have missed? Well, I could definitely go off it safely. You know, being on a keto diet, you know, the only thing that you can't have is carbs. And your body goes into ketosis. So now once I reach my goal weight, I am seriously going to just move to paleo, which allows a little bit of carbs a day. And I will definitely have one day where I enjoy myself and I'm either going to have a piece of pizza or a nice plate of pasta, because pasta is something that I've eaten about 3-4 times a week for decades and decades and decades and haven't had it now in almost 3 months. It sucks, but you know, the weight loss is so good so far. I can't blow it. I mean, since I saw you guys at Lucky 13, I'm down another almost 30 pounds. So I don't have too far to go. But probably a plate of pasta. Nice, good plate of pasta. Or eggplant parmesan or slice of pizza. Andrew 914, did I ever see Guardian Angels in the streets in the 80s? Oh, absolutely. What's my opinion on when John Gotti put a hit on Curtis Sliwa? That was overblown. You know, the people in the neighborhood absolutely did not like Curtis Sliwa. And I got news for you. I have no problem with Curtis Sliwa. I actually appreciated him off and on over the years, but I will never forget. It was 1999 and something happened, something racially in this neighborhood or very close to this neighborhood. And I remember they were going to do some type of a walk. I think Sharpton might have been leading it. And they were going to go right through Ozone Park and Howard Beach. And at the time, I was living for a very brief time at a different address. And I remember them walking through, and the Guardian Angels, I think, had showed up also. And I remember just looking out my window and seeing loads and loads of Guardian Angels. But they never really, you know, look, as much as a provocateur that Al Sharpton has been over the years, and look, the Tawana Brawley thing is just, you know, inexcusable. you know, I don't think he was as much of a provocateur in the neighborhoods here. I mean, showing up and trying to stoke, you know, the racial tensions didn't help, but I don't think people put as much stock into it as you would think. And the Guardian Angels as well. You didn't see them as really confrontational. I just think the neighborhood just didn't give a shit on either side, to be honest with you. Paul Bielowski can never understand why Sting would not go to the WWF when WCW folded. That was his choice, Paul. He just had his reasons. He stuck to them. And, you know, it was what it was. For better or for worse, he liked his time in TNA, but he also felt it was wasted because he could have had a better WWF career. Sure, you could say that about a lot of people. Some people feel that way about Samoa Joe and others. Look, not everybody wants to work the WWE schedule. Not everybody wants to work the WWE grind. Not everybody coming out of WCW wants to go to WWF and get, you know, tweaked or jobbed out and stuff. And yes, it's just entertainment, but at the same time, though, you got to enjoy what you're doing. And if you don't enjoy losing and you don't understand the entertainment aspect of it, you're not going to have a fun time working. I'm not saying that Sting was that demanding or anything like that, but he had his convictions. He stuck to them. As wrestling fans, we don't like them, but you have to respect it. Is having a keto flu just like smelling Naya and Tamina after they work out? Dude, I'll be honest with you. I know people joke, and I have made some jokes here and there, but they might smell like fucking roses after a workout. We don't know. You know, just because they're bigger in size doesn't mean they smell like shit. And I mean that sincerely. And, yeah, you heard my comments recently about the internet and behavior. He is 55. He don't go on Twitter because of all the shit that he hears. I commend you, my friend Paul. I commend you. I mean, you know, I like Twitter because I get to socialize with all areas of the globe, with people I've become friendly with online over the years through the shows and the hotlines. You know, it's great being able to talk to, you know, people as far as Abu Dhabi to as close as two blocks away from me. It's just really, really cool to have that medium. And yes, I do express my opinions also. But, you know, I also feel that, you know, is my entire life an open book? No. There's a shitload of my life that I keep personal. But I also feel that if you're going to be a podcaster and you're going to be a podcaster that has a decent following and ends up being one of the biggest podcasts out there, you know, in over a decade, you know, it comes with some responsibility. Not only is it dedication and effort that almost every time you get nothing in return financially, but also you have to, you know, have a little bit of an open book about yourself. And just telling stories does not mean open book. You know, anybody could fucking create a profile online and live that and actually start convincing themselves that they are that after years. You know, that's not, you know, being an open book. If people are going to pour your heart out to you, or if they're going to invest that kind of dedication and time, you have to show it back. And it's not easy. And, you know, look, I talk to quite a few of you on social media who tell me about other people online, you know, not inner circle, you know, as people think I'm always saying, but just in general. And they get very frustrated because they put so much time and dedication in a particular show. And a particular show always say, oh, you know, contact me here, send me a tweet here, email me here, follow my show here, leave me questions and that. And then the person socializes and they don't get acknowledged, they don't get answered, they get ignored, you know, and it's frustrating. And then you realize quickly that there's a lot of people online that just want to take and take and take and take. They don't want to give it back. They only give it back when they're forced to. And, you know, sadly, a lot of people just don't want to believe that in people who they like, in podcasting, in wrestling, in real life. You know, just you don't want to believe it. But, you know, you just deny being in denial if you don't accept the fact that that is a major thing going on online right now. And, you know, it sucks that you have to, like, out people or, you know, throw subliminal messages and, you know, let people figure it out for themselves. But at the end of the day, I know I get up and I bust my ass. I know I put in insane hours to fucking, you know, have everybody enjoy the shows. You don't know how angry that I got at somebody who wrote a response the other day saying that the show I do on Monday has turned into nothing but an advertisement for the Patreon shows. And I'm like, motherfucker, do you have any idea how much work that I do before 11:15 p.m.? And it's not an advertisement. Will I plug and will I shout out people? Sure. Of course. And they deserve it. Otherwise, these shows would be fucking subscription-based. $5 a month, $10. I don't know. But the point is that, man, you know, you put in tons of work and then some people will just take and take and take. And it's both sides. So, yeah, no. I mean, social media is great if you use it the right way. Unfortunately, people have substituted their real life for a fake online life. And it's pathetic. It's, you know, you got to feel bad for them. But when you realize the extent that they go to try to actually create this persona, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. I don't want to associate with people like that, to be honest with you. I have sympathy for them, but I'm not going to let that creep into my life. Never. Will not do it. Brian, the mayor of Dinosaur Island, Landry. Should I do the echo for that? It always sounds like a horrible superhero show, right? Anyway, I'm not going to do sound effect. I got to get out of here. I've spoken before of my Ronald Reagan memorabilia. Are there any other non-wrestler baseball memorabilia that I have in my collection? Not as much as I used to. I mean, I have tons of vintage newspapers that have nothing to do with wrestling. I have a lot of Reggie Jackson stuff. Remember, this is non-wrestler. Oh, non-baseball. Okay. Yeah, I have some Donald Trump stuff. I have the personalized letter that he sent me and to my father after he became president. You know, I've always wanted to post a beautiful copy of it online, but I know a lot of people hate him, and out of respect for those that hate him, I won't post it. But, you know, I don't keep it displayed. Because, you know, I may have somebody over the house that may just absolutely can't despise our president. And I see it. So out of respect for them, I don't want to piss people off. And, you know, I told this story recently. My father is working on a house right now, and he has about 20 construction workers. And I'd say 15 of them are Mexican, but they're legal. And I'd say about a month ago, something was on the radio, and they were playing the Trump thing, and you know, my father knows some of these people for years and years and years and just really close with them. And he made a stupid joke like, he's going to deport all of you. One guy fucking wanted to bash something over my father's head for real. And my father realized you can't joke with stuff like some people legitimately feel threatened by the president. It sucks. I don't buy into it, but I have to respect people that feel that way. Ralph Ramirez, I mentioned that I took the name for my show from Breakfast with Blassie, starring Andy Kaufman and Clash of Freddie Blassie. If I had breakfast with a wrestling figure, dead or alive, who would it be? A wrestling figure, dead or alive. You know what? I would love, if you're talking about breakfast, I'm not kidding. I know this was spur of the moment. I thought about the question earlier, and you got the usual suspects, you know, Funk, Foley, Heyman, you know, Vince, some others. But if I really wanted to choose someone specifically for breakfast, I would go to a diner with Freddie Blassie. I don't know why. I wouldn't recreate Breakfast with Blassie, but I think that would be pretty cool, right? And he enjoyed the sample from the White Label album, The India Tonight, No One Beats the Biz. I told that story before. I know people didn't believe me, but I even told everybody on that Patreon show, the fucking record company. They're still around. You know, a couple of Google searches, you could find their contacts and say, hey, is it true that you actually, yeah, it's true. You know, I mean, I'm not one that has to go on social media and fucking brag about it and stuff like that. But, you know, as little stories come back to my mind that I haven't thought about in 20, 30 years, I'll tell them. You know, I'm not going to make up stories simply for filler. You know, if something comes back that I remember that I never told before, I will tell it. And, you know, it may sound like, my God, you lived an interesting life so far. Yeah, I have. I had a fucking great, interesting life so far. But I guarantee you, a ton of people that are in their 40s and older will probably have a lot of those similar stories. And in some cases, they even had wilder stories because I didn't like going to the city or going to the village and stuff like that. But meanwhile, they did. And I liked going to fucking clubs and stuff. And they might have done something different. There was some crazy shit that I experienced. But a lot of you out there experienced it too. And you know what? I'm going to leave everybody with this before we go. The younger people out there and the ones that grew up with social media, a lot of what's told over the years by me and some others out there might sound exaggerated or far-fetched or just not believable. You got to understand that because you're in a social media age and because everything is easily accessible on computer, especially shopping, I buy almost everything that I have through Amazon and other places. I don't have to go to the mall anymore. I don't have to fucking stand there while my girlfriend closes shops and shit like that. She'll just gotta say, you know, honey, you want to go to the mall? Nah, I fucking hate the mall because I know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to stand there while she's looking at blouses. So instead, she'll be like, honey, could you order this for me on Amazon? And I say to myself, if that gets me out of going to the mall, sure. So a lot of what we used to do outdoors, you do indoors. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't do the outdoor activities that we used to do when we were a lot younger. So a lot of the stories that we tell, it's just a different age now that a lot of people don't do the same thing. Look, you know what's going to happen 10, 20 years from now? A lot of people, some of the stories that I told, they're going to have their Tinder versions. Oh, man, I fucking picked up this chick on Tinder. You had to see her. She had fucking 18 toes. And my God, she smelled like fucking shit. But I banged her anyway. And blah, 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 blah. People are going to have different stories. It's going to be, you know, an ongoing thing. It'll happen in different ways. You know, going to clubs is much different now. And it got scary. I mean, I loved going to clubs. But when it got to like 1994, 1995, it started to change, man, and it started to get scary. You started to see more and more fights. You started to see people getting stabbed. You know, one time we were bouncing at fucking Goldfingers, used to do bouncing there. It used to be a nightclub too, Pallids in Phase 2. And one night, me and two of my friends, we were bouncing. You know, we were big guys. I mean, I told stories before. You know, I was a big guy when I was younger. I mean, it's just, that's what I was. So was my friend. And we bounced one night. And I remember I went home early. My friend stood and two of my other friends showed up later on and they were hanging out. And there was a fight in the club. I wasn't there. There was a fight in the club. They kicked the people out. They did their job. Guy came back later and started spraying bullets. And believe it or not, if you got a newspaper's, you know, archive membership, go back to around 1988 and go start searching for the fucking, I don't remember if it was Pallids or Phase 2, but go start searching and you'll find the articles about, you know, attempted shooting at that club. I mean, you know, almost everything that I talk about stuff like this can be referenced. You know, but anyway, everyone, it's been real. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD. The website, DonTony.com. Email me, DonTony@DonTony.com. Facebook.com/DTKC Show. Don't forget, we got the Discord page that is banging right now. And once again, Patreon.com/DonTony. You know, we used to say as little as $5. Well, I used to say as little as $5. You know, you could sign up and get a shitload of exclusive content in return. Now you could sign up for as little as $2. And you get our live shows, you know, DTKC Show Extra on Tuesday, Breakfast Soup Live on Tuesday, pay-per-view recaps, you know, on occasion, blah, 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 or Breakfast with Blasi will show up there. See, the problem with Breakfast with Blasi being on Discord Live is, you know, I do this during my lunch. And yeah, I'll spend 2 hours home instead of one. But the point is that sometimes my lunch hour might be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Sometimes it might be at 11:30. Sometimes it might be 3:30. It's hard to pinpoint it. So, you know, it's a lot easier if I just record it here. But patreon.com/DonTony. Everyone be well. I'll catch you again in 2 weeks. And take care. Ciao.
Support the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show on Patreon. Get access to thousands of hours of back episodes. Get bonus episodes
and exclusive shows. Castle Chronicles.
Breakfast Soup.
Pay-per-view recaps. DVDs.
Beer koozies. Tattoos.
And more.
Support the show that's entertained millions for over 16 years. Patreon.com/Don Tony. Once again, Patreon.com/Don Tony.